Hi, this is Wendy Whitaker.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I can edit it, don't worry. Hi, this is Wendy. I'm at the Property Investor Show in London, where Darren Brewer is currently sniffing his mint iced tea rather than drinking it.
Welcome to the HMO Success Podcast. I'm your host, Wendy Whitaker Large, and I'm here to help you create a profitable HMO portfolio. Whether you're a brand new investor or you've been at it for a number of years, my podcast is here to help you make the most from your business, whether that is starting up, scaling, or systemizing. Please hit the subscribe button to make sure you never miss an episode. And if you've got an awe-inspiring project, an inspirational investing story, or a unique approach to HMOs, I'd love to hear from you.
Are you all right?
I'm fine, thank you. Nice to see you, Wendy.
Nice to see you too, Darren. So, Darren, I would like to know from you a bit of an update on what's happening with HMOs and council tax and what you've been doing this morning.
Okay, so thank you for having me on. Very kind of you.
You're very welcome.
So, pretty tired actually, busy week. I was at the HMO Awards on Friday. Lovely, picked up an award there. And also bumped into Ben Beadle, which we haven't spoke for a long time. So had a good conversation with Ben about council tax. Then on Sunday, Monday and Tuesday, I went to the conference, the Conservative conference in Birmingham. Spoke to a few ministers, housing ministers, put our story and our problem across to try and get a bit of movement of what's going on with this problem. And I'm here today at the Property Investor Show at Excel to give a talk with yourself on a debate. And again, the council tax issue arises its head on HMOs and co-living properties.
So Darren, for some of the listeners, and it must only be by now just a handful of people who don't know who you are, would you tell us a little bit about yourself, your background, how you ended up here today? Not, I don't want to know about your public transport plans. I just want to know about your property journey.
So I'm the founder of ProPods. We are a co-living provider based in Portsmouth. We formed that in 2017, but I can take you back to 1996 when I was 18 and bought my first property. Had a love for property then. My late father was a builder who also loved property. And from that, we then created an agency, predominantly sales. Then we went into lettings in 2008 on the Great Crash, built up a lettings portfolio, which we successfully sold this time last year. But in 2017, co-living came across my desk. Funny enough, in London as when I saw it, and it suddenly dawned on me that actually maybe this is the way forward for young professionals to live. And we carried on with that. And, you know, here we are today. We've got 11 houses, 75 rooms. But sadly, in 2020, one of our ProPod houses was rebranded. And that was a shock to me. I'm not saying we were the first in the country to be done, but I think we were probably one of the first to be done that actually had a business with a brand. And since 2020, you and I met. We formed a group, the HMO and Council Tax Lobbying Group. We're now over 1,200 members on Facebook, I believe, and we're successfully trying to lobby Parliament to change this tax on a tenant. Let's be honest, because that's what it lies and that's what it comes down to.
So I've covered this quite extensively on the podcast. Quite a few people will have listened to different episodes that I've done on this. Be really interesting to understand about how your company came about. And you mentioned branding, which I think is really important in this kind of era of HMOs that we're in to differentiate yourself. Can you tell us a bit more about your brand and how it came about and what the name means?
So you know, Wendy, that I'm not the best with social media and technology. However, when we had this idea in 2016, it all came about by three separate clients saying to me, I want to start getting into the HMO top-end market. And someone said to me, a niche within a niche. And I was like, okay, not quite sure what that looks like. So we did a bit of research, started to get a bit interested in it. But I was very much for having the business for so long, my prior business, was you're always changing your website, you're always changing your brand, you're always changing your logo. And I thought, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to start it right before we even had a property. So what did it look like? What did the brand look like? What was our customer base? How did that customer look? What was the age of that customer? You know, how did we get perceived in social media? How do we look on Instagram? So we instructed a social media graphics team who work alongside us today, as of today, still today. And we spent 8 months, you know, and I remember we must have gone through 30 names. And I remember it, I was driving down the A34, and actually I wasn't driving, I was stuck in traffic. And I just got off the phone call to our social media guy saying, I don't like these names, just don't like it. And within that hour of being stuck in traffic, ProPods was founded. And it just came from professional and me asking Siri, what is another name for a bedroom? And that's how we came up with ProPods.
So really it was AI that formed your name.
Oh, maybe I need a bit of AI, to be honest. Yes, it was in a way. I think it grows on people. You know, we then had the silly idea one night in a bar that all our tenants are going to be called Propodians, which I think we're trying to get into the English language as a noun, as I'm told. But yes, you know, it's all about the brand. These young professional people, they go outside, they go to their high street, they either pick up a coffee that's either a Costa or a Nero's or a Starbucks or an independent brand. It looks cool. They want to be on a bus with headphones, listening to Wi-Fi. Everything has its own place, and that's where we wanted ProPods to sit as a brand, in its own business environment.
So your brand is really clear. You've explained that. You've explained how the name came about, and you've got a really clear kind of visual image as well, not only of the brand and the website, but also your properties. Now, the other thing that is obviously unique about your properties is where they are and your passion for where they are. Can you just tell us a bit more about that, Darren?
Yeah, so firstly, we name our ProPod houses like Thunderbirds. So we're up to, ProPod 11. So, but ProPods 1, I think 3, 4 and 5 are houses. We bought a commercial property that had a flat above it as ProPod 2, sort of testing the market. And then I was driving around our city thinking, these high streets are looking a little bit tired. There's some big buildings above them. Why don't we look at creating our brand on the high street, making the shop smaller so that the independent retailer can get a start? Why don't we have a white box where it's got nice lights, it's plastered, it's all painted, and it's got flooring, and an independent retailer can go in there for not a lot of money? And why don't we bring co-living to the high street? Because these young professionals will use the high street for their today-to-day essentials.
So it was really the high street that became the focus now for your development. And do you see that continuing, or are you going to look at other types of property? Or is this your niche now?
I think our niche is, one, the brand and the style of the property, but secondly, its location. You know, I get offered many a properties. I'm not interested in house conversions anymore, if I'm honest. We've done a Jehovah Witness place of worship. We've also done an ex-Dorothy Perkins that we've recently bought. We've just converted a old Thomas Cook building. So we're very keen on the high street. I remember Mary Portis, you know, having programs and talking to the government about high streets. And I think that has its place. To me, the high street is the hub of the community. You know, infrastructure's great. You know, however good or bad your high street is, it always has infrastructure. So I think it's a great place to start for us. I know it's not for everybody, but it really suits our brand.
So it's quite interesting, isn't it? Because, of course, talking about the HMO and council tax issue, you and I know that it's not really top of the government agenda, but the high streets are part of the government agenda, and certainly it gets mentioned in various different white papers, and levelling up is all about how to regenerate different parts of the economy, including the high street. So your HMOs obviously got onto the radar of the Valuation Office Agency when they were being developed, or maybe when you had your completion certificate, which led to those rooms being rebranded by individually for council tax. How did you feel when that happened, given what you were doing in terms of regeneration?
Well, I think that's a great question. Gutted, deflated. I'm sat there thinking, okay, so let's look at us as a company. The government wants us to regenerate high streets, or wants high streets regenerated. So I've done that. There's a tick in the box. The government wants to benefit private individual companies, individual sole traders going into premises. We've created that. We've allowed for that to happen. The government wants people to come and live on the high streets. We've created that. Oh, and by the way, we're going to tax you for it. So it hurts, and that's why I'm very strongly involved in this campaign. I think it's a great debate. I think we can win and get this policy changed. And overall, I'm just disappointed that the government can't see what we are trying to do and what we're trying to tell them that is actually wrong.
Now, earlier this week, you and I and Ben Beadle from the NRLA were at the Conservative Party conference. First time I've ever been to the conference. Quite an interesting experience in many different ways. What did you take away from that? You spoke to various different people, but what were your takeaways from the conference, Darren?
So I think it's all from the top down. There's definitely a need for housing, but the government seems to believe that it's not happening because of developers. I actually think it's not happening because planning takes so long to go through the system. You know, I was talking to some big developers who were saying to us, actually, it's taking us longer to get planning than it is to build 50 houses. That cannot be right. And I think there's a lack of knowledge within government on how we address that. And I actually would like to see government start getting groups of landlords, developers in one area, regionally, and having quarterly meetups to discuss where the problems lie. I think what we're also seeing is the lack of knowledge generally from ministers in the role. And that's not their fault, but maybe they've just never been surrounded by the housing industry. And that's frustrating, I think, for all those listening from the outside and watching in.
I think the other issue, of course, is that we've had so many changes of housing minister. You know, recently, of course, with the new leadership, the whole housing team, the Department for Levelling Up, all of those people have moved into new positions. From the top down, we've got a new Secretary of State and we've got various new housing ministers. They're all new in role. And as you say, one of the issues, of course, is consistency, that you don't have knowledge because people haven't been in the role long enough to learn. And they're then not able to see some of the nuances that they have created over the past few years. And I think our issue falls right within the middle of that.
Completely, completely. And I think we've got policy that they're not aware of. I think we've got policy that is being led by civil servants, and civil servants are not passing the concerns over to the ministers. And it does concern me, actually, who is running these departments. Is it civil servants or is it ministers? And I think we all know the answer to that. But it's about time that ministers start getting out there and actually see what's going on in high streets. What is going on in developments in greenbelt? Because we are not going to change this housing problem unless we actually look at it the other way around. I don't think it's from the top down, I think it's from the bottom up. And I think we need to see more inspirational people within government and actually saying, this isn't our speciality. Let's get people involved who is their speciality. I eat and breathe property day in, day out. I don't want to be an MP. So why would I know what MPs do, but I know what my industry does. And I think that's what MPs have got to start looking at.
So it sounds like you're saying that we need to have a bit more consultation, that that's a key part of it. You'd like to see the conversation opening up a bit more between the government and those of us who are day-to-day running HMOs, co-living, property businesses.
Yeah, I mean, when I'm getting fed up, I fill out consultation papers, you know, because that doesn't tell you what actually is going on in the ground, you know, or on the ground, shall I say. I think, especially with housing, the housing department within the government has got to get out there and start seeing what's going on. And I don't mean a 10, 15 minute visit to a town. I mean actually staying there for a day or two and actually getting a real feel. What is the local authority like? What is their concerns? How can we help them as a government to make this area more affluent? Because that is part of levelling up. The levelling up white paper is not going to solve the problem. It's a base. But what is going to solve the problem is the Secretary of State for Housing going to an area and going, do you know what? I see your problem. I'm going back to the department and we're going to resolve that. Not, here's a consultation paper and tell me what it looks like in 6 weeks' time and we'll collate that and the data will tell us. Because I don't think that's worked, and it's clearly it hasn't worked because we're in the situation we are now.
And it sounds like you are obviously, rightly so, very much on the side of local developers doing some of this work. I think one of the things that we heard a lot at conference was rather than a top-down approach, which we've had in so many different areas of government policy, a bottom-up approach. That's what's needed now. And we went on panels where this was being spoken about. And yet one of the things that I didn't really hear was the freeing up of the private developing sector, the private rental sector, the small builders even. Some of the key issues that affect small builders, like VAT, like supply chains. These are the things that are, if you like, strangulating the private sector from being the answer. But I'm wondering really whether the government really sees the private sector as being the answer.
I don't think they do. You know, I mean, we heard a minister say that PRS and build to rent was the way forward. You know, we've only got to look at Section 24. Section 24 is hurting landlords now, and it's stifling growth within the PRS sector. But yet, build to rent, they can just do what they like. And I think that's becoming very clear. But sadly, it ain't going to be the pension companies that get us out of this problem. It's not going to be the massive developers that get us out of this problem. It's going to be SMEs. And I think you and I had a conversation, and I might be wrong here, that in 1950s, SMEs built more houses than anyone else in the UK. And maybe we need to go back to square one and actually go, do you know what? Let's encourage SMEs. Because there's no incentive, really, for an SME to go out there and risk everything on the line, because that could be their family home that they're risking to get them to a stage where they don't need to have that risk. But what thanks do they get? You know, high streets, I come back to high streets. High streets is a clear angle for getting houses and people in accommodation very, very quickly. But yet we seem to want to go down the road and take a site of a greenbelt land that sits on the edge of a settlement, and it's got no infrastructure, no doctors, no nurses, no bus route, no train. But we're happy to do that, but we're not happy to convert the buildings that we've got. And let's look at that as that's already used up a certain degree of energy over the years to create those buildings. So I've recently bought a building, an old Burton's building that was built in 1937. That's been there. That's been there for 80 years. I'm now going to convert that into a smaller retail space and 14 starter homes for first-time buyers. I'm not having to build anything. It's there. And I can convert that very, very quickly. But here I am 11 months down the line, and I'm still waiting for planning.
And you're absolutely right. I mean, planning is a dreadful hold-up in the system. And as you say, environmentally, it makes much more sense to return dilapidated buildings into use than to build from scratch. So I think that's a very, very powerful argument. So talk to us a little bit about your next year, year and a half. How do you see that happening for you in ProPods? What are your plans? What would you like to see happen?
So we're already looking at ProPod 12, 13 and 14. That's on the schedule. We're actually acquired a couple of buildings already, so that's going to happen. For me, the lobbying group, the Council Tax and HMO lobbying group, is my priority. We have to get this changed. This cannot keep happening. Tenants are feeling the pain. You know, it frustrates me that we've heard about rent controls potentially coming in, and yet on the other hand, we've got the government charging council tax on bedrooms. That's nearly 15, 20% more than the actual tenant's rent of their room. That's not fair. Technically, that's not right, in my opinion, and morally, it definitely isn't right. And I think this is morally where we've got to be looking at, especially as the government's got to be looking at this. So for the next year, 18 months, enjoying what we're doing, growing the ProPod brand, housing more Propodians on the South Coast, but I'm determined to get this policy changed on council tax. And I think it's something that we'd like to see more and more people come on board with us.
Yeah, I think that's very true. And I think your passion really shines through. And, you know, as part of that reform group, you know, I think that we've got a great team, but, you know, it was kind of headed up by you because it kind of all started with you, Darren. So, you know, we can blame you.
Well, let's hope it's not on TV, because I've only got a face for radio. No, look, I think it's a great group that we've got. We're up to, I think, nearly 1,200 members. We know there's some challenges along the way. I'm not going to lie. We need more members, we need more tenants, and we need more landlords to join that group. We've also got to do some crowdfunding, because this is not getting cheap now, and we need crowdfunding to lobby properly. So I think there's a conversation there to be had in the next couple of months. But we're all a family in this. You know, we're all a community. And for once, this is the landlord and the tenant coming together to argue the same point. You know, landlords get fed up with getting taxed. And here we are, we've got tenants being taxed. And I can't think of a scenario over the last 20 years in my property business environment where I've seen tenants be taxed. So it is a concern. We need more MPs on board, and we need more social media and national media to get involved in this debate.
And as you say, we need the voice of the tenant, because that's the power part of it. That's where it's much more like to sort of hit home emotionally. So what would you say to somebody who's thinking about investing in HMOs right now, but has just heard what you've said and is thinking, oh, I don't know if really I want to do it. What advice would you give to them?
So I said in the talk earlier that we're very good as landlords putting a plaster on us and letting it heal and getting over the problem and carrying on. I think we know there's a national shortage of rental properties. For me, HMOs is a great one of resolving that shortage. We know that a majority of people living in HMOs are of the younger generation. These young generation people, they don't want to buy. They want to travel. They want to experience life. They don't want to be tied down by a mortgage. I mean, I had my first mortgage at 18. You know, I think if I was starting out life again, I'd probably want my mortgage until I was 30. I'd want to travel more. I want to move from company to company. I want to benefit myself in regards to what my career looks like. So it's all right, the government saying we've got to build more houses. People need to buy. People need to buy. They're not renting. They can't rent. Well, actually, I don't agree with that. I think there's a place for renting properties and there's a place for people buying properties, and it's their decision when they want to buy. Yes, we need more affordable homes. Yes, we need more properties in the rental market, because I think that will calm the rental demand down, which means prices won't go as high as what. And I'll be honest with you, I'm scared at how high prices are going, because, you know, it's a tough time out there. And we've got to be realistic as landlords as well. Yes, it's a business for us. You know, for some of us, it's our pensions. But at the end of the day, these are young professionals living there. So I wouldn't be put off. We want to do more, as you've heard me say. I'm encouraged by what I'm seeing. You know, I've seen a lot of landlords in the last week, and a lot of them are still upbeat and wanting to do more. So I think there is a place for it.
Yeah, I think that's a really positive note to end on, actually, Darren, because I think, as you say, it's very easy to bring ourselves down because of some of the negativity that's around us. But just the fact that we have formed our HMO Council Tax Reform Group is evidence that we don't lie down as landlords, do we? If we see something that we don't like, we're going to get up and make a fuss about it and try and change it.
And exactly, you know, and I know Ben Beadle at the NRLA, they're really pushing to get Section 24 removed. If we can get that removed and we can sort out this problem for the tenants, I think we're on a bit of a roll. I think the government might start, you know, pricking their ears up and listening to actually what these groups are actually doing. But, you know, overall, we're not bad landlords. I said this earlier, you know, 95% of the landlords in the UK are good landlords. They care about their tenants. They repair their tenants' properties when it needs repairing. And we're trying to solve a 5% problem of rogue landlords that the rest of us have to toe the line on. Well, maybe the government needs to start being a little bit harder on the rogue landlords and letting the good landlords just get on and do what they do best. And that is buying properties, allowing tenants to stay in them. You know, Section 21 disappearing is going to be a car crash. And that worries me. But again, we will put a plaster on it as landlords and we will deal with it. But I really want the government to start listening to what us on the ground as landlords are doing and what works and what doesn't work.
And on that note, Darren Brewer from ProPos, thank you very much indeed for being on the HMO Success podcast today. It's been an absolute pleasure to interview you. And I hope you enjoy the rest of the Property Investor Show.
Yeah, thank you, Wendy. It's been great. And I'm interested to talk to a few more landlords today.
Thank you for listening to the HMO Success podcast. If you'd like to know more about how you can create a profitable HMO business, please visit our website, hmosuccess.co.uk, to find out more. We have plenty of free tools and information for you there, and also on our Facebook group, The Ultimate HMO Success System. We look forward to connecting with you very soon. Thanks for listening.